When I wake up every morning, step my foot on the floor, it gives me a reason to praise God. There are many people who go to bed and they never wake up the next day. And if God is still keeping you alive, if God is still giving you an ounce of breath, it's because He got a mission for you to accomplish. Amen? God is not done with you yet. He got something for you to do, and that's why you're here today. That's why you're still breathing. That's why you're still alive. That's why you're still moving. That's why you're not in the hospital. He got work for you to do. And this morning when I woke up, I came to church, and I was not just physically weak and tired. I was spiritually exhausted. And it was a huge blessing for me to stand at the center and have the worship team lay hands on me and pray for me for grace and for strength. And when they finished praying, I could hear God saying, "It is well." Amen. We need one another every day. We need one another. Let's go to God and pray. And again, I'll invite you to pray that God should speak to you. I'm standing here as a vessel, and I'm praying as well that God will use me to speak just His word, that it will not be about me, but it will be about Him. And I want you to pray that no obstacle will stand your way, but every obstacle will be taken away and you will hear God speak to you. Holy Spirit, we invite you once more in this place. I know you're here, but I ask that every God person here will hear you. You will speak to every heart in this place today. God, you will help us to understand who you are, what you are saying. Forgive, God, my limitations and anything, oh God, that I will say that will cause your people not to hear you. I pray you take it away and filter my words, oh God, and cause that they will hear just you speaking. Take these words, O God, and speak them to your people. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. So we're going to be in the book of Ephesians for maybe a couple of months. We started studying the book of Ephesians in the Sunday school, and I think I've covered just chapter 1. We went to chapter 2. So by the grace of God, next week we are going to get back to the book of Ephesians during our Sunday school class, and we are going to cover chapter 2 by the grace of God, and we will keep moving. I love the book of Ephesians. I love the prayers that were offered. Paul prayed for the church in Ephesus. And last week, we look at chapter 3, and Paul was praying. We look at one of the prayers that Paul prayed for the church in Ephesus. Paul was praying for the strengthening of the inner man. And we said that there is a conflict within. And all of us seated here at one point, we got a conflict. And even right now, there is a conflict going on within you. There is a conflict internally. There is a lie the enemy is whispering to you. There is something that is bothering you. There is the old man wants you to go back to the old nature. The old man wants to go back to Egypt. So there are things every day that will show their ugly heads, and they are trying to pull you back to who you were before you came to Jesus Christ. And so when Paul came to the church in Ephesus, he looked at the church was in deep mess. The church was involved in a lot of evil practices. The church was gradually drifting away from the truth, and they were worshiping an idol in the name of a god. The church was not just doing that, but they were tempted to get involved in evil practices that I don't want to mention the name here. And so Paul looked at the church, and he saw how beautiful the city of Ephesus was, and the people were so distracted by what was happening in Ephesus. and they forgot who they were. They forgot their identities. In America today, many of us have forgotten who we are in Christ. And we are being carried away by the waves of the society. We are being carried away by the wealth in America. We are being carried away by politics. We are being carried away by things that do not glorify God. So it is not just the church in Ephesus that was being carried away by a lot of negative things, but right here, right in America, right in this valley, there are a lot of things around us that are distracting us. And we are being tempted to follow these things. And Paul prayed. When he looked at the church in Ephesus, he prayed for them. And one of the things we emphasized on last week is found in verse 17. In verse 14, let me begin reading from verse 16 of Ephesians chapter 3. This is one of the things that is so interesting that Paul focused on. He says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. And we already answered this question last week. Why is Paul so concerned about the inner being of the people? Why is he not praying for physical, the prosperity that was happening in Ephesus? He prayed for the inner being. He prayed for strength in the inner mind. And we said that when the inner man is strengthened, you got the power to overcome the desires of the flesh. And Paul continues, he prays that their hearts will be strengthened, their minds will be strengthened, and that they may dwell, their hearts may dwell in Jesus Christ through faith. Today I have a question for you. How are you overcoming the conflict within you? Because those conflicts are happening every moment. Shutting down the courtroom of your mind, choosing to forgive somebody, choosing to kick the lies of the enemy out. Those conflicts are happening right now. And the question is, how do we overcome this conflict? We have to overcome the conflict because we have the power in Jesus Christ. Amen. You have the power, we got the power to overcome this conflict because every moment this conflict is showing its head. It's showing its ugly head, it's sitting right there, and you have the choice to choose. You have to choose whether to bow to that conflict or to say, not in this body, not in this house. And I decided today to look at one thing that Jesus promised us before he went to heaven, the coming of the Holy Spirit. There is no way we can choose to live a supernatural life as Christian in the natural. So we need the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to navigate through this evil world. Because if we don't have the power of the Holy Spirit, guess what? We will submit to the flesh every minute. But when the Holy Spirit lives in you, when the Holy Spirit dwells in you, when you are conscious of who you are, when you are conscious that you are a born-again child of God, you've been transformed, you've been set free, that the life you live, you no longer live it, but Jesus lives that life in you, and that he gives you the power to overcome temptation. If you know that, if you live every day with that awareness, then you will be able to overcome the conflict within you. So turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to read verse 15 to 20. Ephesians chapter 5, 15 to 20. Can we read together? If you can, it's right up there. All right, let's go. See then that you work. Amen. Can you say amen to that? Each time I read that, I say, yes, that is the answer. Did anybody bring a stone in church today? Okay, all right. If you didn't bring a stone, then I'm safe. But I have an exit that is good enough to exit if somebody were to stone me. But this is what Paul is saying. What is the answer? What is the key thing that we need to overcome the flesh, to overcome the conflict, to overcome the trials, the temptation that are fighting within us? What is it? Paul looked at the church. He came to the church and he looked at them and he said, no, this is not the way you do it. This is not the way you do it. And he gave them a command. Verse 18. Do not. Do not means do not. Never. That is what it means. Do not get drunk on wine. Okay? Do not get drunk on wine. I want to stop there a little bit and go back and give you a little bit of context. So the church in Ephesus was kind of tempted to follow the ways of the people of the world. So they had a god, a goddess. And when they come to worship the goddess, they would do a dance, and they would drink. They would drink. They would drink. They would get drunk. And then when they get drunk, it turns into something very ugly. You know what I'm trying to say. It turns into something very ugly that Paul calls it debauchery. And when that happens, they believe that when they get drunk, their minds are taken out of their bodies and put into the world of the spirit because of alcohol in them. So the alcohol is controlling them and take them out of who they normally supposed to be and put them in the world of spirit. And they believe that when that happens, that is the moment they communicate with this goddess. And they believe that wine was a huge thing that would help them get to the point of worshiping their God. So the Christians, the church in Ephesus, their eyes were looking at that. Some of them were doing it. Some of them were tempted. And Paul came and said, the way to overcome the flesh is remember what Jesus promised. He said, do not get drunk on wine. Are we still friends? Let's keep going. Do not get drunk on wine. Now, I hear crazy arguments that Jesus turned water into wine. What kind of wine was it? I hear crazy arguments that Paul said to Timothy, take a little bit of wine because of your stomach issue. Yeah? You got one? If you got a stomach issue, then you go see the doctor and the doctor will prescribe you a little bit of wine. I hear all kinds of crazy arguments that it is not wrong to take a little bit of it. When do you know when you get drunk? Paul looks at it and he says, do not. It's an imperative. Do not get drunk on wine. There is no compromise. There is no other way. But then he contrasts that with something that is very important. Wine will not numb your pain. Drinking will not solve your problem. If you look at data, if you look at history, if you look at what is happening in the world today, a lot of people have lost their lives because of alcohol. A lot of people are sitting in jail right now because of alcohol. A lot of people have destroyed families and their children, destroyed their destinies because of alcohol. And somebody will tell me it's okay to take just a bit. I beg to disagree with you. And the Bible says, do not. In the Old Testament, the reason I believe that, I believe in the priesthood of all believers, because the Bible says that when we come to Jesus Christ, we are all priests. Amen? Amen? Come on, friends. Let's get this together. When you come to Jesus Christ, you are a priest. He has made you a priest. I like that. But you know who a priest was in the Old Testament? And the commands God gave them, don't taste wine. And if we believe in the priesthood of all believers, and we believe that the command that was given to the priests in the Old Testament, it says this will happen to the generations to come. So all the priests are not supposed to taste wine. And if we believe that in 1 Peter, the Bible says that we are a peculiar people, a chosen generation, a priesthood belonging to God. If we believe that we are a priesthood, we are a peculiar people, chosen for the glory of God, and that we are priests, then there is no room for alcohol. I don't need an amen for that. There is no room for alcohol. It contrasts that with, do not get drunk with wine, but be filled with water. Amen? But be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, it says, if you're not getting drunk with wine, it's not just enough not getting drunk with wine, but there is something I want you to be doing when you are not getting drunk in wine. Because you've chosen not to consume, you've chosen not to indulge in it, what you should choose is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We have to choose. We have to make that choice to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It makes no sense for me for people to believe that this natural, supernatural life can be lived in the natural. We cannot live it in the natural, because Jesus knew that these things would come. Jesus knew that these temptations would come. And he said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans, but I'm going to send a comforter. I'm going to send a helper. And he is going to teach you, guide you to all truth. Why do you drink? I choose to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And if we choose to be filled with the Holy Spirit, if everybody walks in here, we fill with the Holy Spirit, this group is empowered. This one is empowered. You are empowered. And there will be an explosion of God's power happening in this little room. But when we come in here and our hearts are filled with dirt, with unforgiveness, with things that are not glorifying God, our hearts are filled with evil, our hearts are filled with hatred, there is no room for the Holy Spirit. And he is saying, it's not just about wine, by the way. He is saying, do not get drunk on wine. Do not get indulged in all these things. Do not keep these things into your heart, because your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. If you truly believe that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, you should be conscious of what you do with that body, because it's no longer yours, but God's. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Do not get drunk on wine. That is the contrast. And this morning, I don't smoke, by the way. I've never smoked, but I got a lighter. Okay, so this is there any Sister Mary here? We don't have a Mary here, so I'm good to go. So this is Sister Mary. Sister, is there one? Okay. So Sister Mary, she comes to church. She attends prayer meetings. She is very good at loving people. Sister Mary, she gives her tithe. Sister Mary was baptized. Sister Mary is doing everything you would imagine that a Christian needs to do. But Sister Mary is filled with herself. There's nothing in there but her. And the Christian life she's trying to live, she's living it using her energy, using her power. Not on the power of the Holy Ghost. She is living it on her own. And she's saying, you know, I studied the scriptures. I know the scriptures. I went to the Bible college. You know, I've been a Christian for decades, so I am good to go. And every day, she is struggling to love. She is struggling to forgive people. She is struggling to get rid of the junk in her. She is struggling to do the things that God has called us to do using her own strength. But when challenges hit so hard, when the conflict within her stirs so hard and comes alive, comes up so hard, This is the conflict. This is the heat in life. This is the heat in America. This is the heat of life. And when that happens, she explodes. Because she was not submitting to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. She was trying to do these things on her own. She was trying to live the Christian life on her own. And Brother John, there's a John in this church. Brother Matthias is doing the same thing. He's trying to live the Christian life on his own. He's trying to say, I know these things. You know, I've been in the church for long. I play the keyboard. I sing in the choir. I even preach in many places. I know the scriptures. And when the heat of life, when the conflict within becomes so tense, he explodes. But I have Sister Bed. Oh, there is a bed. So you like this one. And Brother Ephraim. This is them. And they come to the heat of life. They stay strong. They're not giving up. They are not exploding. They are not submitting to the enemy. And the heat is burning. The fire is burning. And they stay strong in the Lord. So why do you think this brother and this sister are staying strong and they are fighting the conflict within? Because the Holy Spirit is in them. Amen? The Holy Spirit lives in them. Somebody turn to John chapter 7, verse 37 to 39. John chapter 7, 37 to 39. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and he said in a loud voice, "Let everyone who is thirsty come to me and drink." Verse 38, "Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living waters will flow from within them." Verse 39, it says, "By this he meant the Holy Spirit." So water, I put water in here. It's not magic. I put water in here because it says that he who believes in him, out of that person will flow rivers of living water. And it says that he was talking about the Holy Spirit. And so when we believe in Jesus Christ, the only way we can overcome the trials, the challenges, the conflict, the negativities in this world and stay strong in Christ is when we allow the Holy Spirit to live his life in us. That heat is still there, and the enemy is not giving up. He will still come back, and he will try and try and try, but they are staying strong because the one who is in them is greater than the one who is in the world. Are you daily submitting to the power of the Holy Spirit? Are you overcoming the flesh? Are you overcoming the negativities in you? Are you overcoming the trials that are attacking your inner mind through your strength or the power of God? It's simple. Do not get drunk, but instead be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, there is a wrong teaching out there that the Holy Spirit is something that you drink him and he gets right to the bottom of the glass, and then you come and fill him back, and then you drink and he gets to the bottom and you fill. That is not who the Holy Spirit is. What God is saying is that you should continually be filled with the Holy Spirit. So your life has to be like a pad for the Holy Spirit to be flowing every moment. So it's something that happens every moment. It's not something that you will sit and then when you sin and you come back and say, Holy Spirit, fill me again. That's not what he's saying. He's talking about a daily lifestyle. That every day we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit right now? Or you're filled with grief, grievances, grudges, unforgiveness, despair, submitting to the flesh? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit right now? Have you surrendered your all to Jesus Christ and you're saying, it's no longer about me, but it's about you, God? It's no longer about me, it's about your glory. It's no longer about satisfying my flesh, but it's about your glory. I know the temptation when it comes to people giving up things that they were used to. I know the temptation of giving up alcohol if that was a pattern in your life. I know the temptation of trying to give that up. You're not going to give it up until you humbly ask the Holy Spirit to live his life in you and surrender all. You try it on your own, you will not make it. I want you to go to God in prayer right now. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up. I am nothing without you. I am nothing without you, Jesus. We are nothing without you. Are you going to say that this morning by responding to him and saying, I am nothing without you? The worship team is going to do this song twice. And I invite you, if you want to come up front here and just ask the Holy Spirit to come into you, that you are nothing without him. How are you overcoming the conflict within you? Are you giving in to those? Or you're daily submitting to the Holy Spirit? Is there anyone here? I don't want you to lift up your hand, but I want you to walk up front. Is there anyone here that wants to say, God, I've been trying this on my own, and you need the Holy Spirit? I'm not asking you to give your life to Jesus. I know you're a Christian, but you want to surrender all fully. Is there somebody here? I think we all need the Holy Spirit, and I expect everybody up here. So the worship team is going to do this song. If the Spirit is leading you to do that, I just want you to run up here and be on your knees and cry to him. Desire this. They are up here not for me, but for you. Fill them right to the top, God, that their cup will overflow. God, at each time the flesh comes against them, oh God, and asks them to do something that is contrary to you, that your Holy Spirit will give them the power to reject the enemy and to say no to the enemy. God, that when the challenges of life, they hit so hard, the Holy Spirit will guide them, give them wisdom, empower them to kick the enemy out. It is only through the power of the Holy Spirit that we can overcome the conflict within us. Empower your people, God, even as we go out today. Holy Spirit, fill us. Thank you, Father. Even for the hearts that have secretly been rededicated to you, take those hearts and build them again for your glory. Bless the rest of our day, God, and that every moment we will be conscious that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Glorify your great name. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you and have a wonderful Sunday.